It's a pleasure to be with you this morning, even though we're not together, and I really was looking forward to being there with you and to meeting all of you. My name is Tom Bell. So this morning, I would like just to share a few thoughts of especially that have been highlighted, I think, because of this sheltering in place. In our home, when before the pandemic and during the year when we have a lot of activity, we can be pretty busy. And I was really convicted about it in the fall because it seemed like almost every night of the week we had something going on, and it was just too much. But we've got the boys playing hockey, and there's Bible studies, and there's kids club, and there's just a lot of activity. But now, since a lot of that has been stripped away, because it's not that time of year and no one's going anywhere, it's really highlighted what the true reality of my life and my family's life is. When you're not distracted by all of the activity, what's the truth? Especially concerning, my relationship with the Lord. And so the first verse I just wanted us to think about was in Psalm 119, the great long chapter in Psalm, talking about the Word of God. And in verse 73, it says, "Your hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments." And it says, "Your hands have made me and fashioned me." And fashioned there, I usually would just automatically think of fashioned as in, yes, he physically made me, just like the potter with the clay. And that's true, but it's been suggested here that this word that was used was not with the emphasis on that, but the emphasis on that he has established me, he has constituted me, he has made me what I am. And that's just a wonderful way to think about it. Another aspect of how God has created each and every one of us. He has made you who you are. What makes you you, your personality, your quirks? God did that on purpose. And so the psalmist here is saying, "Your hands have made me. You made me who I am. I'm looking for you to give me understanding that I may learn your commandments." So when we come to God's word, yes, there is the aspect that God has revealed himself in his written word, and the aspect that I can use my mind to read those words and to understand it. But there's also this spiritual component, right? Spiritual things are spiritually discerned. And so we recognize, Lord, I need your help. Help me to understand. Help me to learn your word. And of course, the desire is that we would be changed by it, that our lives would be motivated by it and dictated by it. So looking at my life, at my family's life, something needed to change. Something needed to change in our home. And when I think about many of the times when we have Sunday school and we've got kids club, in which my wife and I are both involved in, our children are able to hear our voices and other adults in the chapel teaching them about the Word of God. And that's been a wonderful thing. We're able to serve the Lord, to serve our assembly, and also at the same time, our children are benefiting from that. But when all of that was gone away, I saw that we had a need to engage them and each other with the Word of God. So I'll touch a little bit on that in a minute. I'm going to look at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 1, says, "For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words, for though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus in the Lord, so walk in him." Paul talks about having this great conflict. I think he was in great conflict of prayer for them, that their hearts may be encouraged. He says, being knit together in love, which is a consistent theme in the writings of Paul, as he wrote to different believers, that they would be knit together, that they would have unity, that they would be of the same mind. This is a consistent theme for Paul. He says that they might be encouraged and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ. The prayer was that their understanding would be deepened of the things of God, that this was so important. He says, in Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Sometimes we read these things and it can be easy to skim past it and not absorb it or to think upon it. But what a statement, right? This prayer that he has for them. They might be encouraged, attaining to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It's worth pursuing, to say the least. And it says, "So walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding with thanksgiving." He goes on to say in verse 9, "For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power." And so his word is worth pursuing, is worth seeking to understand, but the Lord Jesus himself is worthy of us seeking him. And that was one thing that I was just encouraged with when we had the North American Week of Prayer. And, of course, that was affected by COVID-19. And we were having virtual meetings all over the place instead of just being in one location. And just the encouragement that we should seek the Lord and seek him together. And it's just been replaying in my mind. For myself, but also for my church family, that we should seek the Lord. Paul talked about, or his prayer was that the believers would be encouraged. And when we look around at our world, and perhaps social media, news media right now, We see a lot in the States, but also here in Canada, that can discourage us. And I suppose the truth is, at any time, if we really knew what was going on, there is a lot to be discouraged about. Right now, you know, we're 2 months into this, and people are anxious or ready to meet together again. I know I am. I'm ready. There's a certain aspect that I've enjoyed learning how to do this kind of thing, and I like the fact that we have the technology, that we can see each other, that we can talk to each other, but I'm really done. I'm really ready to be with the people of God and with family. So that can be a source of discouragement. And it's another reminder to me that us gathering together, being together, growing together, encouraging one another together is so important. Before this, not that I took it for granted, but I don't think I felt it as keenly as I do now. Just how much I need my brothers and sisters in the Lord. How much we need each other to be together, to equip one another, to build one another up, to encourage each other, to love each other. So that's highlighted that again for me. Let's look at 1 Chronicles chapter 16. And this is where, excuse me, this is where the ark is being brought back and placed in the tabernacle. And I'm sure that the people of Israel definitely learned and were aware of a sense that things were not right, right? The tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant, this was where God chose to manifest himself, to show his people that he dwelt among them, right? That he tabernacled with them. And so this was quite an event. In verse 16 of chapter 16, it says, "So they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. Then they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before God. And when David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord and distributed to every one in Israel, both man and woman, to everyone, a loaf of bread, a piece of meat, and a cake of raisins." This was a huge event, right? And there was a sense that we are moving forward with the way that the Lord wants things, that us approaching him is we're trying to make it right. We're trying to be right with him. And it was a big deal. David's offering sacrifices. Everybody's getting food. And he anoints some of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord. And there's celebration, right? We've got musicians. We've got people playing stringed instruments. Stringed instruments, harps, cymbals, and trumpets. And there's something inside of me, and I don't know, I think I'm kind of on the conservative side of things, but there's something inside of me that says, when we get back together, that's what I want. I want to celebrate. I don't think it would be inappropriate for us to be playing stringed instruments and to hear trumpets and cymbals and just thank the Lord that we're able to gather back together again. Things were not the way that they should be, right? We were hindered. We couldn't gather together. We did everything we could to make it happen, but it just wasn't right. And now we're back together. Praise the Lord. Let's worship him. Let's celebrate together. I think that was some of the emotion that they were having here. And so David writes a song of thanksgiving. He says in verse 8, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing psalms to him. Talk of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face forevermore." And there's the thought that we need to seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Continuing to seek his face. Continuing to seek his strength. You know, there should be, from our Christian experience, no point in life when we get to a certain point and we say, "Ah, I've done it. I've made it. I can relax now." I had an older brother say one time that, you know, it's easy to float downstream. It's so easy, even a dead fish can do it. And so we don't want to rely on our own strength. We don't want to go with the flow, as it were, to float downstream. We need to continue to realize it's not in my own power. It's not in my own strength. I need to seek him. I need to seek his face. I need to seek his strength. He goes on to say, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Remember his covenant forever. He says in verse 23, "Sing to the Lord all the earth. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and gladness are in his place." He says, proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. And so that raises the question in my mind, how am I proclaiming the good news of his salvation? How am I doing that? How am I declaring his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples? And so, as I've been thinking through some of these thoughts, there were three areas in which I'm thinking through, and I'm trying to be open to the Holy Spirit and showing me how I am to do this, how we are to do this. And so the first one is in my own personal life. What are my practices? And maybe it's something as simple as you know, a good devotional time during the day. Maybe it's how I'm studying, and it might be different for each one of us, but thinking about building a culture, and not a culture or a practice simply for the sake of if I do A, B, and C, then I know everything's good, but making it my practice to seek the Lord, making it my practice to seek to move the work of Christ forward, seeking to declare his works among the nations, to bring glory to his name. What are the practices? What are the habits that I have put in place, maybe that I need to put in place, so that I'm seeking Him? It's part of my culture. It's part of my practice to do these things. And if you're anything like me, oftentimes when I try to start something new, usually one of two things happens, or a combination of the two. And one of those is that right from the beginning, it's very awkward. You're not in the habit of doing it. And so to try and implement some new thing, it seems awkward. It seems forced. It seems contrived. But usually that doesn't last, right? Because after a certain amount of time, you get used to it, and it's no longer this awkward, weird thing. So either that happens, and or the beginning starts off great, and you think, "Wow, I should have done this a lot sooner." And it might be true, but you might go for a few days, you might go for a few weeks, and then you kind of forget, or more life happens, and the thing you were trying to keep going just dies away. But I think what will help us, what will help me, is that realization that we need Him. And whatever it is that we've instituted in our personal life to seek Him, to build that culture, that practice, is something that we need instead of relying on our own strength. So our personal life, but also building a culture in our home. Is it the practice in your home to seek Him? Like I said, in our home, we needed to make a change. And I'm so glad we did. We've made more of a concerted effort every day to seek the Lord together. And I'm loving our time. And I don't want you to think that it's all been perfect or that it's even all that complicated. It's very simple. And some days are better than others. But I love the fact that we as a family are seeking the Lord together, and we're asking Him to help us to understand His word, to shape our lives. And I absolutely love it. And I think there's an aspect in which I was relying on our involvement in our home assembly and our children being a part of that, and allowing that to be how we were teaching our children, which is wonderful, but this has been so much more special, more intimate. And I'm so glad that the Lord convicted me about it. So in our personal life, in our home, about our church family, I think that there's an aspect of this whole shelter in place thing that is giving us an opportunity. Now, yes, we shouldn't push pause on everything, right? We're still called to get the gospel out somehow. We're still called upon to love one another. Those are our responsibilities. And so, how do you do that? I'm sure many of you have done things like offering to buy groceries for people, or pick things up, or run errands if they can't get out of the house. You know, mowing grass. You're doing practical things to love each other. Picking up the phone, doing video calls to encourage one another. But I want to think about moving ahead when we are able to meet together again. And I'm sure that will be a slow process too. It won't be everybody right at the beginning, and more vulnerable people may have to wait a little longer. But we should look for ways in which we can encourage one another once we're able to be together. Sensing the importance of one another. We should look for ways in which we can seek Him and serve one another. And so I think it's an opportunity to think about how have we done things in the past. And when we get back together, is the appropriate thing, is the right thing to do exactly what we were doing before? And maybe the answer is yes. I mean, maybe that is what the Lord wants us to do. When we get back together, we go back into what was our practice. And that might be great. But maybe we should start something new. Maybe we should do something differently. And again, anytime you start something new, it can be difficult. And I don't know what you think about when I say those words, starting something new. That can be really scary. And I'm not even suggesting anything in particular. But I think that us being separated for this long, when we come together and we've been thinking about these things, I think it's really a gift that we can think about, you know, what can we do? What can we do to continue to proclaim the gospel? Because that might look different. What can we do to love one another, to build one another up? And maybe it's as simple as something as my own responsibility in my church family. Might not be something that we're all doing together, but it might be me starting to do things that maybe I didn't do before. When we talk about sharing the gospel and evangelism, one of the things we usually think through is that the message never changes. Man has a problem, mankind, and it's sin, and the consequences of that sin are eternal death and very real. And the answer that the Lord Jesus died on the cross for our sins so that anyone who would believe in Him would have eternal life. The message remains the same, but the methods of how we proclaim that message, of how we seek to reach the lost with that message, that can change. Sometimes it's handing somebody a booklet that has information about the gospel in it. Sometimes it's standing in a park or on a street corner with a paint board and painting a picture and preaching a small message to get the gospel out. There's so many methods, right? But the message stays the same. And so perhaps we can think about that as we desire, we want to seek the Lord. We want to have Him lead us in creating a culture, creating practices that help us to seek Him, that help us to love one another, and that help us to get the good news of the gospel out. How can we better seek the Lord? How can we better love one another? And how can we better be faithful to the Great Commission of getting the good news out? And Psalm 90, verse 12, it says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." And as we think about our world, as we think about our culture and our life, and we know that it is brief, our life is but a vapor that appears for a little while and is gone. let's seek the Lord. Let's seek the Lord and his strength. Let's seek to create practices, a culture in which we can do that in our own personal lives, in our homes, in our families. And let's seek ways in which we can love one another. Our days are numbered. This life is so very brief. So we should ask the Lord for wisdom in all of these things. So I hope these thoughts have been an encouragement to you. It's not my desire to discourage anyone or to make you feel bad, but I think we've got an opportunity. And so let's just ask the Lord for help. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for how you can take circumstances that we would never choose, circumstances that may be difficult, may be challenging, and you can teach us and you can change us to be more like your Son, the Lord Jesus. And Heavenly Father, we just ask for your help. We don't want to do things in our own strength. And so we want to seek you and your strength and help us to create a culture, to create new practices that help us to do that and help us to love one another. And so we just pray these things in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.